and Banner Podcast. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Bruise and Banner Podcast. I am your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, is the legendary Brew Crew. What up, fellas?
I was reading this weekend.
Mama.
Guys, it doesn't taste like dirt.
My name is Lou Belgium's, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm wondering,
does Delaware have an actual culture?
This is the podcast that we talk about beer, but we also talk about a lot of things that's happening in the world. Politics, movies, anything really that comes to our mind while we're here. Sampling these brews, grab a drink, and pull up a chair.
Ooh, we love you, Brews and Banter Podcast.
What up? Welcome to Brews and Banter Podcast. The topic is the rocking of the brew. Well, that'd be the fuel. I'm your host, Rob Z, and with me, as always, the legendary Brew Crew. What's going on, fellas?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of Brews and Banter Podcast. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We're glad you are here with us this afternoon, this morning, this evening, whenever you are listening to the podcast. For all our bruisers and bruisettes, thank you for returning to Brews and Banter Podcast, because we appreciate you always listening and tuning in to the podcast, because we do have a great one for you again today. We have the creative director of Dewey Beer Co. We have Harrison. I should ask his last name. How do you pronounce his last name? Albert. We'll get him to answer that. So let me bring him.
I want to say it's Albert.
Welcome, Mr. Albert.
Oh, what's up, guys? How are you?
Nice to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. Excited to
Harrison Albert, is that it?
Yeah, standard white guy saying.
No, your name's backwards, actually. It should be Albert Harrison.
I mean, if you want to go like Ricky Bobby, Harrison Albert, you can go both ways. It's fine.
I like Albert Harrison.
We want to thank Harrison to come on the podcast. Before we get into all that, we want to know what everybody is drinking on. So, what do we drink today? And we always start with our guests. So, Harrison, what are you drinking on today?
So, it's probably lame that I'm drinking the beer for the company that I work for, but I'm drinking a Sunset Eclipse tonight, a little 6% stout.
Not lame at all.
Nah.
What you think with the percentage of it was, though?
So it's a Sunset Eclipse. It's a 6% stout. Little notes of coffee and chocolate.
Okay. A nice little stout.
Does it have any large notes of anything?
Good beer. Is that a good large note?
large notes.
You said it had little notes of chocolate. I was wondering if anything else was good.
I thought you like had a new thing that you came up with, large notes. Like, what's the most? What can you taste the most in it? That makes sense. Large notes.
Yeah,
that's what I thought you meant.
He said little bit of chocolate. I was wondering if you had a lot of bit of everything else.
I would say if we're going large notes, I would say coffee. Coffee is a large note on the beer.
Makes sense.
All right.
All right. What are you drinking on?
I think I just had, for some reason, I feel like I just had this on the podcast. Did I? This Queen's Gold?
Yes.
Yeah. How many of these do I have? Like, what the? This is from Blue Jay Brewing. Yeah, obviously. From Blue Jay Brewing Co. And this was a collab with the Experience. So shout out to Vivian with Experience.
Hey, Vivian.
This is a lager coming in at a whopping 4.2%. Smells delicious. It actually has large notes of citrus in this lager. Very all citrusy. Right. Okay, large notes of citrus, and it's pretty good. It's
like
pretty
large. Large enough to smell like an IPA or just to smell like a lager?
I had to look at it when I, because I opened it and smelled it, and then I had to double check. I'm like, wait, what is this? Because I thought it was an IPA based off the smell of it, and then I looked and realized that. That was before I even poured it in the glass, but I thought it was IPA.
Do you remember the last time you had it on the show, Yoda? Did it taste, did it smell more citrusy? I don't remember you saying that.
Yeah, it did. It did. Remember, I think I said it smelled like an IPA the last time.
Okay. All right. You guys go back and let us know.
Yeah.
Whatever episode that was.
But of course, I would pass me another of these all the time.
All right. Yeah. Lou, you said you had a beer, but you're not drinking it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm not drinking tonight. No reason that I'm not. I'm just not. Don't worry about it. But I did go to the bottle shop. I did go to the bottle shop yesterday, my local one, and I was happy to see Liquid Intrusion had three different styles there. So I'm just going to highlight one of my favorites that they have that was there is the South Cream. South of DC Cream Ale, my bad. But it's Liquid Intrusion. They're out of Brandywine, Maryland. They're our family. We love them. So go to your local bottle shop and find them and get it. Made on Liquid Always Prevail. Cheers to Jasmine and Drew.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's you can buy them in the four packs, you can buy them in singles. So yeah, if you local to Delaware, go ahead and get find one. Pass me
or in the DC area, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they in the Maryland, D.C. area. Their beer is all over that place. But they're expanding their distribution, and they made it out. They was in Lower Delaware by you, Harrison. And now they're up in the north side. So
that's awesome. Yeah. They're a great brewery. So
I agree. Definitely. Go ahead, Rob.
I have, in honor of our guest, I have the Dewey Nate Club. It's the coconut custard pie. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's the Imperial Stout coming in at 12%. So it's heavy beer. In honor of my birthday, I got.
Hey, you can't rob me. Feliz
cumpleaños. Get lit up today.
He is ready to throw down.
Yo, couldn't find it. Probably wasn't. It wasn't his stuff that wasn't working. It's him.
It's him. It's him. The buttons look a little tinier.
That wasn't technical difficulties. It's Rob difficulties.
This has a strong note. What was the word?
Large.
It does have large notes of toasted coconut. Small notes of vanilla and large notes of graham cracker, especially on the nose. And I do have it in my Dewey friend 2025 glass. There it is right there as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm on episode brand.
Yeah, you are for sure.
Full Dewey.
You know, the way Rob described his large notes, remember the little girl who always got the hints of cinnamon?
Yeah,
hints of
that's her. Remember, I posted it and said that it was me describing a beer. Yeah. Hints of spice.
It is delicious. It is delicious. It is a heavy beer, so it is 12%.
But you can
definitely taste the coconut. Okay. Right on the graham cracker, more on the nose, and actually in the beer, it's a lot of coconut for sure. But it's sweet. It's not bitter. So it's sweet. So people probably would enjoy that if they like sweet stuff. So I'm going to definitely pass me another. So.
I hate that hand. Nah, not that hand. It was the hand when you were describing. It has the notes.
I was sending the hints. The hints. A little bit of nutmeg. A little bit of nutmeg. Rob, does it feel like 12%? You said it was heavy. Is that in reference to the 12%?
Yeah, it feels like 12%.
So it's not a sneak up vibe.
No, no. It's
not the full.
it's a large.
It's large. Yeah, it's large.
Because when he went to go to describe how heavy it was, his fist balled off. He was like, nah. It's back in the punch.
Describing was heavy. Funny. It is, man. It's heavy.
Which is funny because it's not really boozy. It's a lot of coconut, a lot of vanilla, some vanilla. So it's not really boozy. But I think maybe because my mind already tells me it's 12%, I've already factor that in. Like, yeah, it's and it's thick, so it's like a thick.
Yeah, it got you sweating.
I'm gonna have to see. This is one or two. It ain't not two. But it's the color of like oil.
Damn.
but it is good. It's not like the 6% one that Harrison is drinking. This is 12%, so it's like double, double the punch.
Yeah,
Harrison. Gotcha. Harrison, I'm assuming that you had both of those. Can you describe the differences, or is he pretty spot on compared to what you just drunk?
Yeah, Rob's pretty spot on. So Bait Club is kind of our like big boy stouts. They're 12%. They pack a lot more flavor. We like to call them like dessert stouts. Not that you have to only have them at dessert, but the flavor profiles usually blend well to that. Whereas Sunset Eclipse is more like what I would call like a day drinking stout. So you can have like three or four and not be like passed out, yeah, I guess. Right.
So even though I said pass me another, I probably could actually only have just one.
Right.
I was gonna...
Understood.
Like, and flavor, yeah, things. Pass me another. The flavor... The flavor, yes, that's another. But
the beer content is just one. What is going on?
The fact that he ain't like my hand, now I got my hand all in the camera.
they're the co-hosts right now. Guest starring Rob's hands.
Those birthday hands, I guess. I don't know.
Birthday hands.
Oh my God.
Well, everybody's drinking on something great. So without further ado, like we said, we want to welcome Harrison again to the podcast and the another round of applause.
And then Florida.
And Rubio, floor is yours to tell us who you are, what you do, and how you even got to doing Beer Toast. So without further ado, Harrison, take it away.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm excited to finally be on the podcast. Obviously, been friends for a little while in the beer world with you guys, so it's fun to actually be on this time. A little bit about me. Born and raised right outside of Washington, D.C., so other side of the bridge for Delaware folks. And I got into craft beer in 2016. Obviously loved drinking it, went to art school, drank more craft beer than I probably ever should have down in Georgia, hung out with a bunch of brewery friends down there, Service Brewing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them, but they were kind of gracious to kind of teach me some ways of craft brewing down there. And then 2016, I was out of college working on art projects, working for different companies, and the boys, Mike Riley, Brandon Smith, owners of Dewey Beer, kind of approached me and was like, hey, you know, we've been seeing some of your work, would love to see some of your designs, and kind of ever since there have been growing with them. I did a lot of work outside with a couple of other breweries in Delaware and Maryland and here and there, but Dewey kind of just stuck close to my heart and love those guys. It's been a fun ride building that brand from the ground up and just kind of doing everything. That's kind of like the short world story of me. But at Dewey Beer now, I guess my formal title, like I told you guys, is creative director, but I oversee and do all the artwork you see on the cans, all the merchandise out in the stores, all of our marketing materials, events, kind of anything that says Dewey is behind me. I've got a great team. We have a great brew team, great staff. So they're obviously a huge help in that. Can't take all the credit, but that's kind of what I do day in and day out, design labels and have fun events. So
nice. So let me ask you, cause I don't know if I asked the artist that does can art and stuff, this question, do you do your art based off of the beer, like the notes of the beer or what you taste in the beer or whatever? Like, how do you base how you're going to do can art? What do you base it off of?
So I do a little bit of both, honestly. So I guess to take example for Bait Club that Rob's drinking, coconut custard pie, those colors on those labels are taken from custard pies, just different images of it. And that pink and yellow gradient is kind of taken from there. So sometimes, yeah, I'll 100% base it on flavors. And then there's other times where there are names that are like, man, I'm like, we're doing something like really crazy. Like today at the brewery, we were talking about an old beer that we did called Aerobus a couple years ago, which the idea was like, oh, let's have a 70s VW van with wings flying over. Like, so it kind of depends. Like sometimes the flavors are like, yeah, that's really jamming. Or like sometimes the ideas are just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go.
So, so looping up the thrill.
Yeah,
that's a good beer.
Yeah, that's a really good beer. This is probably one of the best beers we've ever made.
Delicious.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever made a beer better than this. But
no, hands down, that's the best beer ever.
Yeah, hands down. Come back out. They never want to bring this
out. Do you know?
Did you design this as well?
What's that?
Did you help design the can art on this can as well?
So funny enough, Thrills Kills is a thing that we've done for the past 3 years now. Last year we had the awesome opportunity to collab with you guys. And every year we change up the artwork on the label. So last year with you guys, myself and our merchandise director, Lauren Lee, who also did the past two Delaware Pint Day glasses with the Brewers Guild. Right. We worked on it together on that label last year. So it's been a lot of fun. Thrills Kills was a cool, that flavor was awesome last year with you guys. So like I said, it really just, it depends. Like sometimes it's the flavors are like, they give you the greatest idea. And then sometimes the names, you may be as ridiculous as they are like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I think you got kind of lucky too, because you're with a brewery that's really creative in the beer making with their beer flavors and stuff. So that I could see how that would bring out the artistic part of somebody. Like even if they ain't even an artist, but just the fact that the actual brewery creates beer that are kind of like different from the norm, like puts you in a different mind frame. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to collab with our brewers. John, who is our head brewer up in Harbison, so our production side, and then Bennett, who's down at our beach location. Those two guys are great. They're fantastic brewery minds. So to be able to work with them and then Brandon as well, the four of us really come up with crazy ideas, you know, flavors. And it's just so fun. It's fun to be creative all the time and be able to work off of those guys, just because on the beer sense, like I can be like, hey, let's just throw a bunch of random fruits in here. And they're like, that's terrible. Let's do this instead. And it's like, oh, that makes way more sense. I'll stick to the labels. You guys stick to the beer. It sounds good.
Let me taste it when you guys are done.
Thinking about personally, like what was the beer? I know you said you drink a lot of beer in Georgia, but what was the beer that got you into craft beer? Like, hey, I like craft beer.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think. So like obviously there's like, you know, your childhood stories of like you drink PBR when you're 13 or 14 and you realize how much you hate beer. So for me, that was the case. I had PBR was my very first ever beer. And I at first I was like, this is awful. Why would anybody drink this? And then after a little while, it's like, okay, that's not that bad.
got a little buzz. I think I'm all right.
I'm trying to think back, man, the first beer. I would say, sad that they're not around anymore, but Three Stars Brewing back in D.C., were most definitely like their stout program back in like 2011, 2012 was what I was drinking all the time. I started the other way. I started with stouts and heavy beer, and now I'm all light lagers, like light lager and light stouts, all that kind of stuff. So Three Stars Brewing in DC, I mean, RIP now, but you know, their stout program 2011, 2012 was super awesome.
Cool. I like how you call it a program.
What's that?
I like how you call it a program. So it's like a sour program. There's like a stout program. Is that just for specific breweries that do more varieties of different stouts? You call it a stout program, or like you guys have different types of sours. Do you have a sour program?
I guess. I think it's like a technical term I kind of like to look at, where like when you can kind of start seeing a brewery focus in on whether it's like hazy IPAs or fruit beers or stouts or barrel aged stuff, like they kind of build what I call a program, because then they kind of start building on their knowledge and their feedback and kind of go from there. Like, you look at a lot of breweries right now, they're kind of going back to what they call hop saturated ales, which is like a huge amount of hops into like a hazy IPA, which could be like 20 to 40 pounds, which is a huge amount. So you see a lot of, it's a crazy amount, but you get so much flavor to it. It's almost like that creaminess on top of the hop. So like, it just kind of depends. You look at different breweries, they're doing different stuff. Just, you know, everybody's got a different thing. And so,
but it's not an industry. Is it an industry term, or did you just make that up?
It's kind of an industry term, but I don't want to be like, ooh, it's an industry term kind of thing. Like, it's one of those loose ends where it's like, you know, people say we have a barrel age program, but like, we're still just having fun with it. We're experimenting with different things, kind of stuff like that. But
I like it. I think you should copyright it or trademark, whatever.
To-do list, copyright.
Yeah. Yeah. Your program. What's your beer program? Just start saying it.
Don't do that.
Do it. It's doing it already.
So going to art school was.
I did go to art school. So I went to art school at Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia. Graphic design was not on the radar when I first started. My degree is actually technically in photography. So photography is my heart and my soul. I still take pictures. But that's where I started in art school. And then kind of towards the end, I was working in a lot of commercial stuff. So shooting product photos, things like that. So graphic design and commercial photography kind of go hand in hand. And so I just kind of started picking it up and learning tricks of the trade and, you know, messing around with stuff. And then all of a sudden it kind of just went full blown. When I moved back here to, so I live in Ocean City, Maryland. So when I moved here, with my girlfriend, now wife, I was doing design and photo work for restaurants, bars, things like that. So they kind of just went hand in hand and kept going. And now that's what I do all day, every day.
That's dope.
Well, would you look at that? Because a lot of people be like, I went for art, but now I'm doing different art.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Now I was about to say, you said there that your work caught their eye. Did they ever tell you what work actually caught their eye?
That's a good question.
I think that's a secret that they'll keep until like ever, because it'll never be like, oh, is that one thing? It was just like, hey, like they just had or seen my work and they liked it. So yeah, I don't think that Mike and Brandon will ever exactly tell me what it was, but yeah. Hey,
it's probably something you hated.
I'm sure it is.
Because that's how it normally works. Probably some of you was like, what? You'd be like,
that's still a good feeling though, to be noticed just doing what you like to do and what you enjoy doing outside of that, and then to be called in to have another thing that becomes a career. So that was cool. I like that story.
It's amazing. I'm super happy that I get to do it every day. Like, I know that a lot of people who are way more creative than I'll ever be are still out there doing stuff, and I appreciate that. And it's just so cool to be able to kind of, you know, mess around with that and be an artist day to day, and then share that experience with people who drink our beer. I know it's kind of a weird thing to say, but, you know, a lot of people pick up our beer. I've been told people pick up our beers because of label art, or they saw it in the register, things like that. And so it's cool to be part of that experience, because, you know, when I sit here every day and design labels and do XYZ, it's like, oh, I've got, you know, 5 more labels I got to do before the end of the month. Whereas people are like, I only drink that beer because it was my favorite color blue, or I love that you put strawberry illustrations on it, or some minute thing. And it's just really cool to hear those stories year after year and all of that. So
before me and Yoda knew what kind of beers we liked, we would just go off the can art. We would
drink
beers, but the can art was great. Like, it was but I didn't know what I was doing.
It's really cool. I wish I could take credit for saying this, but like fridges now in bottle shops and liquor stores and everything, it's like they're their own mini art galleries. There's so many artists out there making really cool labels that, you know, the pair with amazing beer. Like, it's just cool to be able, it's almost like a kind of, I don't want to say underappreciated, but like an unthought of art. Like, people are like, oh yeah, beer, like, you know, all that. But like, it's really cool to see how much it's evolved over the years and how crazy it's gotten. Yeah. And just all the different styles, even across breweries, like even here in Delaware, you know, I think every brewery here in Delaware has their own unique style. And I think it's just so cool that even, you know, across this whole state that there's.
Yeah. I keep a lot of cans. If the artwork is good, it's saved.
Is that like your ranking system? Like, the better the artwork, like the better you keep the can, the better the beer.
Yeah, because the artwork is what makes the can stay. And if it's because I after I drunk it, I don't really, you know, I could remember a little bit what it tastes like, but you know, most of the time they're one off beers or they're so far away I can't get them again. So I just like the can art. It's always been a thing that I've been drawn to. Since I've been starting to drink beer.
That's true.
Even like the Coors Light Train, like that can art was cool to me. Like when it used to change color from ready to be drunk, like what did it go from like gray to blue?
Like, yeah, when the mountains turn blue. Yeah,
it's time to drink it. That's cool as shit. So yeah. And then like you said, it's people all over the world that are drinking your beer, and a lot of people drink beer because of the artwork. And you influence that. Plus, Dewey beer is pretty damn good. So on top of that, you know what I mean? You never know if you're drinking it because it's good.
Yeah.
Because of your can art. You never know.
Art is always cool and labels are always amazing. But I will always stick by the fact that it needs to be good beer in the can. Like, that's what, obviously the beer is what makes people come back to your brewery, to your spot, you know. So art can be super cool. But hands down to all the brewers out there, like,
everyone's
doing the hard work.
So what is it? I'm not thinking about the right beer. It's some kind of character. Is it on the Thrills cans?
Yeah, Mr. Thrills. So
you came up with this?
Yeah. All right. So a funny story about this. Mr. Thrills, and to this day, people ask me this story, and it's a story I love to tell. So everyone thinks that he's either a light bulb or he's a tornado. And it's neither. So Thrills is actually based on a Southern dessert called Thrills. And what it was is that because it got so hot in the summer down south, people would put these freezer pops, basically. And they would make it with Kool-Aid or Country Time or whatever it may be, you know, whatever they may eat. And then they freeze it. And then you got a cool treat for the afternoon when it's like 100 degrees and humidity. So it's been around for, I think, like since the 40s. Like, it's a longstanding tradition. So the idea was that...
Never called it that, but I know exactly. That's
a word. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, exactly. I was going to say different terms for different regions.
Wow, that's cool.
So when we were, concepting the Thrills, that when that heavy fruited beer was, you know, first super trendy, we were working around this name and like, how would we make it super cool and all this kind of stuff. And I took my experiences from living in Savannah, Georgia, and being down there for 6 years, took that and knowing, you know, the localness of that to what the name was behind and, you know, kids playing. So the thought was like, hey, it's kind of like a cartoonish kid and that's why he's on roller skates and it's always bright colored. So that's kind of how he became. And he's just kind of like grown into this phenomenon, which I never would have thought of. But yeah, he is the longest standing mascot of Dewey Beer.
Mr. Thrills is great.
That's right.
You actually have like a costume, like people around Mr. Thrills.
I wish. I will put on this podcast now that if anybody comes up with that costume, I will pay you so much money. So much.
Mr.
Thrills needs to be at Dewey and Friends.
Absolutely.
Why is the Thrills there?
I'll get working on it tomorrow.
You got to.
Just cut to the montage now.
Now, before we get into Dewey and Friends, For people who do not know, some of our listeners may not know, can you give us a little, like, a backstory about what the Beer Co. is?
Yeah. So Dewey Beer started in 2015 in Dewey Beach, Delaware. We started as a super small brew pub, little seven barrel action. So we kind of went on that train, and around late 2020, we started building our big production facility out in Harbison, Delaware. So kind of halfway in between Lewis and Milton, Delaware. And then in spring 2021, that opened. So we've just kind of been growing and grew from this tiny little brew pub to now distributing in six states across the East Coast, and have been having a lot of fun. This year was our 10th anniversary, so that was super exciting. Nice. Big party in May. Wow. Thank you. So yeah, so we've got those two locations, and we distribute throughout the state of Delaware, Maryland, and DC as well. A couple of other states, Virginia. But yeah, that's kind of the little bit of Dewey Beer.
Right, and I feel like everyone in USA did.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In 2024, we were voted USA Today's best brew pub in the country. So that was super exciting. That was a lot of fun last year.
So, well, and it's crazy because Dewey Beer Co. is one of them places where, like, the beers people are looking for them. Like, you know, like how, I guess because it's kind of, I mean, it is very different from a lot of other breweries. And so people are actually looking for these beers. Like, so they kind of get jealous of us because they think that we, like, right down the street from
them. Yeah.
and we like, yeah, that's still about an hour for you.
I can't get what you want at all. But so just for an example, when we made our Thrills, when we collabed with you guys and made the Thrills in 2024, I remember getting there early the day that for the release and just seeing people buzzing around. And then when y'all finally released it, people walking out of there with, like, cases of our beer. And it was just when you were like, yeah, they do that every month. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, every time Thrills comes out, some people come from some people come from this place
from everywhere,
like from miles away, because you can't get. And I was like, that's just great marketing that you have. You have two different smoothie fruit beers, and one you put in the bottle shops, and one you keep at your locations. But people still are coming from far and wide to get it. It's very, very strange because they kind of taste the same, but they don't taste the same. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Smoothie beers, it's so weird, but they're delicious, man. Cheers.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought about when I first tasted a Secret Machine, I had no idea that it was local. So
really,
my favorite beer before I knew it was even I could get it an hour 45 minutes away.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, Thrills is a lot of fun. We've kept it in-house all these years for that being a big reason. The difference between, for people who don't know, Secret Machine is a 7% fruit smoothie beer. It's got a little less fruit to it because of the higher ABV in it. But Thrills is a 5.25, always got to say 5.25%.
Right.
Fruit smoothie beer, but it's got a lot more fruit to it. So we keep it in house to make sure that it's as fresh as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And also we do a lot of fun experimental stuff out of our brew pub in Dewey. So it's a fun reason to come hang out. We've got amazing food too. It's always fun to hang out and eat there, but you know, it's just giving people different experiences where, you know, the beers that we get out in the world are great and amazing and we love them, but at the same time, you don't feel like, oh, I already had these beers. Like, it's a new part of us that you get to enjoy and kind of create this different experience with us.
And right.
Yeah. And you can't beat the location. I mean, because you can come out there and vacation and go to the brewery. So it's like,
yeah,
walk off the beach and come have some beers. It's great.
Right.
Like, what more?
You can't beat that.
No.
No. I mean, in terms of what we're here for, I mean, Dewey Your Friends is coming up on Dewey Your Friends 2026. What year was this? How many years has this festival been?
So Dewey and Friends, this is the fourth year. It is January 31st this year. A little bit earlier than what it has been the past 3 years. But again, super excited to bring this festival. I think my favorite lineup of the 4 years so far this year. It's 65 breweries this year from all over the US and Canada. It's going to be so much fun. Like, it, as you guys know, it's a great time and a full day of just drinking excellent beer that you just don't get around here.
Let me ask you this, about the about Dewey and Friends. What makes Dewey and Friends different from any other beer festival, in your opinion?
I was gonna say it's tough being the person who plans it and runs it. It's the best mind for it, clearly. No, it's cool. Everyone's like, why do you throw a beer fest at the end of January at a beach? And it's like, well, it's not outside for number one, but number two, it's great. We host it with the Hyatt Place in Dewey Beach, so it's all indoors. The fun thing about it is that it is all breweries that you can't get here in the state of Delaware. And including in that, so you got 65 breweries this year. We have a VIP room if you get a VIP ticket with specialty beers on top of that. And then always the thing that shocks everybody every year is that there is a free buffet included in every single ticket. So
hey, I imagine.
If nothing else. But
no reason for we'd be drinking.
Yeah, right. you go through the tent, drink some beers, eat, you go into the other room, drink some more beers, eat. It's a full system. But no, it's a great event. The breweries that attend always bring some amazing beers. They're always, and it's all our goal to bring as many breweries in person as possible that we can to these fests, so that people who come get to actually talk to somebody who is from the brewery. Because again, it's super cool. You know, these breweries are from quite literally all over the country and Canada. So to be able to talk to the person who brewed the beer or sells it, or just, you know, has a vast knowledge of these breweries is so cool. And I feel like that's what kind of sets it apart from maybe another brewery event or festival. You know, you get a lot of people from just so far and wide and bringing all different styles of beer. You know, we have a bunch of breweries that are, you know, fermentation style or farmhouse style that are just, you know, make these off the wall things that are completely different from like your hazy IPA, your fruit beer, your stout. So again, just a lot of fun. So many good beers to have.
So I think the best, like you said, y'all have a full buffet, and it's all you can eat included with the ticket. I've never seen that at a beer fest since or before. Why did you guys think to do that? And congratulations on that idea, because it should be a food ticket included with everything.
It should be, yeah, right? You get spoiled once you do it.
Sure.
But no, it's actually, you know, in part with our partners at Hyatt Place. They're the hotel that we host at. They run where they host is run as a full venue. So there's a lot of weddings there, a lot of big parties, things like that. So they actually were like, hey, we can throw on food styles for that. And I realize now my dogs are wrestling in the back. I'm sorry about that.
I didn't know what it was first, but now I know I'm okay.
So anyways, here, hold on one second. I'm so sorry. I'm in the middle of this recording and I'm going to walk away.
Somebody's mad.
Somebody. It looks like that.
No, they're just mad that I'm up talking and I'm not talking to them.
I told you.
But the buffet was definitely in part with Hyatt. They have an amazing staff there that helps make it happen. And we were thinking, like, what are things we can make it stand out? And everyone at the table was like, there's never any food, or like there's a food truck with a line. And it's like, well, how do we solve that? How do we partner with drinking all these beers in a confined space? And it's like, chicken nuggets, duh. Like, that solves everybody's problem. Right. So that's where it was born from. And we've kept it every year. And again, it's one of the biggest things that people talk about. It's like, there's food involved with this.
Shout out to the sliders.
I was going to say lifesavers. They're lifesavers is what they are.
Man. And then they come out. It's not at the beginning. It come out like an hour, 2 hours into the thing last time we was there. So it was just like right on time. So you're like, yo, I'm hungry. Where are these food trucks? It's like, oh, no. Here go these French fries. Eat these.
Yeah. It's they're amazing people. And this year they're like, we're going to rotate through stuff. So this year it's going to be different plates like every hour. So different types of burgers, all that. So it's like I said, it's going to be a great event.
Yo, because one thing I can't say that, like, for people that haven't been to Dewey and Friends, that it's, I like the spot that it's at, because I don't care how many breweries y'all put in there, it's still like an intimate setting. Like, because if you want to taste everything, you have the opportunity to taste as much as you want. And I like the whole, like, the vibe. Y'all have some music going on. It's so much fun. I like, because when I first went, I was thinking to myself the same thing that you said at the beginning. Like, why the hell are they having a festival in the wintertime at the beach? Then it just so happens that just because it's wintertime, don't mean it's going to be cold outside.
And just because it's wintertime, don't mean the beach ain't a place to be.
Right, that's true.
You don't necessarily need to be in the water.
Right, yeah.
The beach is beautiful. Like, the sun sets at 4.
Right.
Like,
it's very, very nice.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
So in 2026, what can people expect, I guess, new or what beers do you think people, or what breweries are you are excited to see?
It's still crazy saying 2026. God, though, that's crazy.
Right? Like, I got Christmas to think about and all that. So like I said, 26 is definitely going to be the biggest year we've done so far. 65 breweries from the US and Canada. It's going to be a great time. Some of the breweries that I'm super excited about personally, we have about 25 brand new breweries for the festival this year alone. Wow. And all of them are the first time they'll ever be in the state of Delaware. So that's super exciting.
25 brand new Delaware.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. Right. So that's a super exciting thing. A couple that I'm super excited for this year, Charlestown Fermentary down in Charleston, South Carolina. Shout out to Titus and Nick down there. They're super tight guys. They make some fantastic beer. Dissolver down in Asheville, North Carolina. Some very trippy IPAs. Stay tuned on that, because we'll definitely have some news.
Crab Rangoon Sour.
They did.
Oh, my God. Oh, I remember that. That was good.
Yeah, Ariel.
So stay tuned on Dissolver. We've got some news with them for the festival. And then also bringing it back home to DC, Lost Generation, Jared and the crew there. I've fallen in love with their brewery, with Graveshift, their dark lager. So I hung out with them at Snallygaster, where I saw you guys too. So super excited to have them. And then a couple of other guys.
How does one get on your brewery list? And a second question to that, how does the rotation of these breweries coming in and going work?
It's just me throwing darts at a dartboard.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm kidding. No, we really
that's how my life works. That's how my life
is. I was gonna see if you got
you got a blindfold when you throw darts. Go ahead, Harrison.
We've got some of our longtime friends who we have every year. We've other half Trogues, you know, people like that. And then every year we try to bring in some new people, and it's really just kind of people who we meet along the way, whether it's us on vacation, stopping in the spot and falling in love with their beer, or people we met at other events or festivals or whatnot. You know, again, we really try to play into the name Dewey and Friends. We want to make an event that is super fun, super intimate. you get to meet new friends, you get to try new beer and just really have that like fun experience and not, you know, not go crazy, not get too crazy there, but just have fun, really. Like, that's my whole mantra in life, is to have fun. So let's make that into a beer fest.
Yeah, I think Dewey and Friends was the first place we had Ill Will. Shout out to Dewey and Friends for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll say Ill Will will be back. Yeah.
Oh.
And then sense of, like, how we change people out every year, it kind of just depends. Like, you know, I always try to keep – I'm running around during the festival day, but, you know, I talk to as many people as I can, and they tell me, like, oh, I really love these people, or I love these people, or these people were so nice. And, like, try to keep mind of that and, like, you know, make sure that, you know, you bring back people who were super excited about, or, like, they've been on my wish list forever, and now I get to finally try them. Like, that's so cool to me because, you know, I sit here and do research on these guys, and we all try their beers and talk to them and figure out all these logistics, and to have people have fun and be like, oh man, you know, I never had Ill Will until today. I never had Dissolver until today, or whoever it may be. Like, and then now they're like, I'm going to go X, Y, and Z place to go try more breweries because of that. Like, that's what really makes the festival for me.
It's also that Canadian brewery that I can never pronounce the name correctly. Start with an M.
Mizoram. Mizoram. Yes. Yes. They'll be back again. Marc Andre and Sebastian are great dudes. So yes, they'll be back.
Yeah, like when I feel like when, because it is a lot of breweries that the first time I've had them was at Dewey and Friends. And I feel like, I don't know if it was done on purpose. I mean, because I guess I don't get around that much, but it is like one of those situations where, like, you know that you're going to get something that you never had before at Dewey and Friends. And so I could see how people could get excited over it, because it's like, it's a lot of places that I know I probably wouldn't even venture out to in the first place. But I'll be seeing them on Instagram and whatnot. You'd be looking at these beers and you like, damn, that look good. But where's that at? Oh, no, I'm not going. but I can catch them at Dewey and Friends.
Yeah. And that's what I love. Like, there's this kind of hidden element of like a beer share. You know, you've got all your friends together and you're bringing
the vibe. That's the vibe.
That's my goal for this fest. It's like, you know, I went on this vacation. I grabbed all these bottles or cans or whatnot, or at the liquor store, they're doing a special drop. And just, you know, again, for a lot of us here, like, it's cool to have beer from Canada, like West Coast beers, like all this stuff. Like, so just to be able to have that all in one spot and everyone having a good time and hanging out is always great. So.
Cool. So I'm always curious to know when people create beer festivals or throw beer festivals, like, when do you actually start saying, like, hey, okay, now it's time to start planning for next year? Like, when do you start that?
So it's a little bit different for us. We all think about it all year round. We have a big notes sheet that we all share when we go to places, things like that. But planning doesn't usually start for us until July. So that's when we have our first meetings about it. And then September invites go out to breweries and kind of goes from there. It's weird because we have to deal with like the holiday season on top of it. So, you know, breweries have got stuff going on. People have got things going on because of the holidays. So juggling that, it takes a little bit longer. But I would say from all of my friends who I've talked to, it's like a 6 month thing.
Mm.
And it's just like some of the people that are returners, but there's also people that you meet along the way, like throughout the year, like, hey, I really enjoyed their beer, and we can invite them, and that kind of how it works all the time.
Yeah. So a great example, I was down at Kill the Lights Festival, Zool's Festival in Knoxville, at the end of October, and met a brewery, Andy at Butchertown Brewery in Louisville, Kentucky. Just was chatting to him at the after party of the festival. Super nice guy, hanging out, having a lot of fun. And he's like, oh, I've got some of my beers, like, just take them home with you or try them. So we're trying them in the hotel lobby at like 2 a.m. And I said, damn, these things are really good, man. And I was like, oh, we got to invite him. Like, I was like, that's an easy one. So there's a lot of stories of that, of like, we ran into him at a festival, or you know, we did a collab with them a little while ago and they were super nice. Like, just it like I said, it's like a big friends party. That's what we're going for.
All right. Well, true to the name, like that, and I guess that first iteration of the festival that always one with the friends, or was it something else that Dewey and friends?
We always stuck with Dewey and friends. We've tried to keep as much as we can possible similar. I mean, we've added more and more breweries every year. We're adding some more stuff. This year we're this year we're throwing a big pre-party Friday night. So we're going to have a bunch of fun things so you can get your badge early. And if you've got a VIP ticket, you can get your early VIP bottle. But we're also going to have like a pop-up tattoo shop so you can get like fun themed tattoos if you're into it. I love it.
Tattoo shop.
Yeah.
I already got an idea.
You know what's funny? I was telling my wife, I had a dream that I was going to get a tattoo on my calf. So maybe that's it.
See, you knew ahead of time. You knew ahead of time.
Meanwhile, he has no tattoos.
Hey,
it's the first
time. It's on his calf. He can hide it.
Yeah, it's February 31st, 2026. Rob get his first tattoo.
Dang.
Drink some beers, eat some chicken nuggets. It's all of
you. Right, there you go.
Yoga, you can cut that. You can cut that, Harrison. Use that for advertising.
Oh, I will. 100%. Just all of them.
That's crazy, though.
Just start promoting Rob's cat.
Yeah, right. have people vote what he's going to get.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember that tattoo show? Remember the tattoo show? You could pick your friend's tattoo.
Yeah. But you have to agree. You do have to agree on it. We're not gonna make it do you dirty like that. You do gotta agree, but you gotta agree on whatever we yeah.
January 31st.
That's on Friday though, ain't it?
January 30th will be full beer fest and tattoos might get a little sketchy, but
yeah, for sure.
The night before, it's again, it's gonna be super fun. The tattoos will be themed around like festival things, kind of fun, and there's small ones, so it's not like a big old arm piece or anything like that. But we've got a lot of other fun things up our sleeves this year, so again, just super excited to bring a fun festival for everyone.
Nice.
I don't know.
I didn't like Rob's face when he asked that though. Like, hey, you wanna tell me about the fun stuff you like?
I'm trying to think what's something fun that I can leak on the podcast. We're doing a super fun fruit beer collab with Mizoram for the fest. So that'll launch at the fest. It's something that, there you go. So it's a super off the wall flavor, like something you wouldn't really expect in a fruit beer. But it's going to be awesome. The crew there at Mizoram are obviously awesome guys. So that'll release festival day. So if you're not at the festival, you'll still be able to get it at either of our brewery locations, as well as the two other collabs that we'll be releasing that day as well. But I'm going to keep those a secret.
All right. Oh. Stick a pin of waffles and raspberry.
That's not nice at all.
What could it be? He said that you wouldn't expect.
Chicken and raspberry with chicken and waffle with a raspberry syrup. Perfect.
I tell you, you could sit here and guess for an hour and you won't get it. And it's not something weird like mac and cheese or hot dogs, or like, shout out to Drecker on the hot dog and mac and cheese sour that they did, but nothing weird like that, but just a flavor profile you would have never expected.
All right. Now challenge. I can guess. No.
Look, I'm gonna start sending Harrison some random ass text messages that just one word. So I guess what it is. We're gonna be like, what the fuck is he even talking about?
It's like 3:30 in the morning. Like, what?
Licorice.
Papaya cheese and kiwi.
Cheese and kiwi is nasty. Oh my god. All right. Aaron, you're about to get flooded.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I'm more excited about that now, just to see what random things you've been thinking about.
Yeah. We got 2 months, guys.
Let's go. Let's fire them up.
We can definitely think of some random thing.
Yes, sir.
It could be. It's probably something like popcorn, butter, and I don't know.
It's like
popcorn, butter, and apples. I don't know.
Maybe we should start with, what is a Canadian fruit? Canadian national fruit? I don't know what that is. Maybe it's that. Well, Delaware's national fruit. Or Delaware's
corn. Maybe it has something to do with corn.
It is not that. That's a good guess. I'll give you that's a good guess. But it's not that.
I give up.
Well, I'm not going to give up. We just give up for right now.
For right now.
Offline, Harrison would be like, these guys. What are you doing? What are you doing over there, Yoda?
This is why. Are we close? Or are we? Is it a big?
He's still trying.
Is it a large flavor? Is it a large note or is it a small note?
Is it large or is it minuscule?
Now you said that, he already got his outlook set up to put our email in the trash.
No.
And this dude's gonna be like, he's gonna be like, oh, I didn't get any of them.
That's funny, Rob.
Straight to trash. That's a shame.
Harrison, I do have another question that's specific to Dewey Beer, because you mentioned Mr. Thrills and how the name Thrills came up. That was really unique. How did y'all come up with Secret Machine?
So
it's a secret.
It's not a secret. It's kind of Secret Machine. There is a story for the name, but we like to keep that secret because we like people, again, to guess the story. Everyone who you talk to has a different story of how Secret Machine came about. Some people's stories are that one of the fermenters came to life in the middle of the night, and that's how the name came about. There's other names that because, and this is kind of the more plausible one, is that because we were kind of one of the first fruit people to be doing it, they thought that we had a special machine that was doing it. But again, it's one of those stories that it's like super boring, so we just kind of hide it so that people aren't like, that's how you came up with his name? Like, that's it?
But like Willy Wonka. I love Scooby-Doo. Because somebody loves Scooby-Doo, right? That's what it is.
I wish that was it.
Secret Machine?
No, that was a Mystery Machine. Mystery Machine. It was close. But yeah.
That's right.
Maybe somebody had a secret. Oh, that's what it was. It was a secret that Harrison liked the Mystery Machine. And when they found out, they was like, oh, he tried to keep his Mystery Machine love a secret. Secret Machine.
I like the fermented
on it. I didn't even follow that.
Yeah, I was just trying to wait for him to stop off.
I tried.
You failed.
So for our listeners, is there anything people should know? Like, are tickets already on sale for Dewey and Friends, or when they go on sale? Like, how can people find out more information? Or I know that there's they might want to book their hotels and all that kind of stuff. Like, how can they find all the information about Dewey and Friends?
So you can actually find all the information for the festival on our website. That has a link to tickets, the breakdown of tickets, how to buy tickets, and then also your hotel information. We partner, obviously, with the Hyatt for a special room rate. If you stay Friday night and Saturday night, it's $100, $109 a night for the hotel. So that's super cool. But again, all of that information is on our website. You can also go on our Instagram or Facebook. We've got links there as well to see kind of, we're on release number 4 right now of breweries who are attending. We'll have 6 in total. And, you know, you can follow that way. Or if you have any questions, you can always hit us up on social media or email me or email whoever, or come to the tap room and ask me in person if you really want to.
So pop up.
Yeah, just show up. Why not?
Which one are you based out of, Harris?
I'm based out of the Harbison one. I float back and forth, but most days you can find me out there.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
My office, it's yay big.
I'm asking for the fans. He said you could find me. I was just asking people listening.
Yeah. So you said you already released four airdrops. Got 2 more left. Is that right?
Yes. So there's 10 on each release. Yesterday we released number 4, which had 12 because of Thanksgiving. So we've got a little over halfway through of who's going to be coming. There's still some really cool names coming up in the last 2 drops, as well as more information about the Friday night pre-party and also the collabs that we'll be dropping. So still plenty of information to follow. So follow us on Instagram. It's the easiest way for everybody to get information super fast. So.
Sweet potatoes and grapes.
Tapas, man, y'all. Come on, man.
Yoda was locked in on that. Hey, he was thinking that whole time. Like,
sweet potatoes, okay. Sweet grapes. Oh, no. Two grapes.
You were thinking 2 Thanksgiving.
That might work, though.
Oh, yeah. Sweet potatoes and cranberries.
What's that cranberry?
Yeah.
Thought we were still on the grapes.
I did say grapes, but cranberries. Sweet potatoes and cranberries.
That's not it. That's a good collaboration for us to do later on next Christmas.
There you go.
It's in cranberry collab.
You gotta write it down. Write it down now.
Definitely. It's on this podcast. It's important.
There you go. Fair. That's also fair.
Bob.
The Bobby.
The Bobbler.
It's going to taste like sweet. It's Glenn's Hill.
That's when you put a little whipped cream or something on the top of the shot glass.
Yeah.
You gotta have your turkey gravy.
All right. Any more questions for Harrison?
I do have 1 more question for Harrison. Harrison,
yeah.
Out of the beers that Dewey produces, which one is your particular favorite?
Why your dogs go crazy.
Wow. Yeah, while they go crazy again, they're over me talking. That's a tough question. I'm trying to think. So, Dewey, we've made over 900 beers in the past 10 years.
Shit.
Yeah, that's a really crazy number. I was looking it up today.
Wow.
900 is
90 beers a year? That's 90 beers a year about.
So, yeah. Something like that. I'm not good at math, so I'll never say that I am. But I'm trying to think.
That's an art thing.
Let me rephrase it. Let me rephrase it for you. What's a beer that you enjoy that's on tap regularly?
Ooh, regularly. All right. So for summertime, Taco Dealer, which is it's a Mexican style light lager that we do.
Right.
That's always my summertime favorite. We've brewed it 3 summers now. Do it summertime only. So that's super fun. And then off season, I really, really get into our barrel program, our barrel aged stouts that we do kind of on the off season.
Uh-huh.
This year, I will say the Night of Light, which is we take 2 different barrels that have stout in them and age them for anywhere between 18 and 24 months and blend 2 different barrel styles together. No flavors add in, just the straight barrels. This year we did a combination of bourbon and Amarosa barrel. So it's like a spice, it's kind of like a spiced rum flavor to it. It is amazing. It is by far my favorite stout this year that we've done. It's like a spiced rum cake almost. So that's kind of, that's what I've been drinking a lot of. We dropped it last week. We released it last week, but I think I've drank two bottles of it so far. So.
Two barrels is crazy.
Just have a hose connected from the
That's funny. You ain't got time to talk. He drinking barrels.
That's what I
all day. That sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah. And then I guess to answer the question overall, I think my all year round that we do that I enjoy the most is our Pizzetta, which is our Italian style lager, or Italian style Pilsner, I should say. That's my favorite. If anything you can get all year round, I would pick that. So I guess three different options for you to pick.
There it is.
There you go.
All right. There you go. I like that. See, Dewey ain't just sweet beers.
I think I'll go with, is it Trone? How you say it? Is it Trone or Tron?
Trone.
El Trono.
El Trono.
What's that? What's that, a lager?
A Mexican lager, yeah.
Mexican lager, okay. You know, me and Lou, we, the thrills of the secret machine.
So, all of them.
When I go to the brewery, I mix the Pizzetta with whatever thrills is on tap.
Yeah. A fun thing we do in our brew pubs.
Yeah,
they'll
mix any two beers you want. Sometimes three.
If you want to get really crazy.
It was like buying water ice, huh? Like, get the water
ice. Yeah, right. A little float.
I like that.
All right. Any more questions for Harry?
Nah, man. Congratulations on what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Can't wait.
I want to thank Harrison Albert from Dewey Beer Co. for coming on our podcast.
Thank you.
I know you gave a lot of it before we go. We always like to know how people can find you on the World Wide Web, social media, and anywhere else they can find you out about if they want to buy merchandise about Dewey Beer Co. So how can they find even the brick and mortar address as well?
Yeah, so you can follow us on social media, Dewey Beer Co. Website, deweybeerco.com, and as well as our both locations, Dewey Beach and Harbison.
He's being attacked.
It's the perfect timing, I swear.
Yeah,
it's perfect
timing. Wait, what kind of dogs are those? I'm just curious.
Two labs.
Okay.
Two labs. Yeah,
they want to make sure you had it right, though. Woo! Make sure you get it right, son.
Yeah, right.
It's our uncle.
What's that address, Ron? I need this kibble.
Wait, did you say the website to get the tickets on?
It's all on our main website, deweybeerco.com.
Cool. Yeah. Nice.
And the address is for both locations, you know?
Harbison is 21241 Iron Throw Drive, Harbison, Delaware. And then the beach is 2100 Coastal Highway, Dewey Beach, Delaware.
All right. Lou, how can they find you?
My name is Lou Belgium. I'm on them Instagrams.
Yokums.
My name is Yo. You can find me on Instagram at IM302YODA.
And you can find Bruising Banter Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Bruising Banter Podcast. You can even go to www.bruisingbanter.com and follow us there. Definitely check us out on YouTube. Smash that like button. If you want to listen to the podcast or have a podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can say Alexa Play Bruising Banter Podcast because we're on Amazon.
That beer kicking in at 12%.
Happy birthday, Rob. You want to follow me, Rob St. Bruising? There it is right there. Bing, bing,
no, it's not.
Actually,
it's not there at all.
Other side. Right other side.
Right I'm looking at it on my camera. It's there for me. Not for y'all.
Well, yeah. Nobody can see
not
it.
Not there.
Bro. If we can't see it, nobody's going to see it.
I'm trying to tell you, I can see it.
It's right. You're pointing to the O in your polo.
I am not.
You know he jumped. Come on, stop, Lou.
Right. You got it. I'm a screenshotter, and so y'all can see. I'm
we can screenshot it too, Rob. You on the front side.
I'm on the front side, right here.
Somebody tell this man.
It's okay, I'm not Rob. Here. This is wrong.
That's not.
Okay. It does.
Got it, Robert. You perfect, man. Y'all was perfect. Say birthday. Got it, Robert.
Oh, he's gonna leave.
He's gone.
We're gonna leave. Oh, not what you had.
Flip this whole computer up.
Well, no, I was trying.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool, Rob. We're gonna cut this part out.
Nah, I have proof. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
All the stuff that you're doing right now is real crazy.
Yeah.
I proof that I'm not crazy. This is on my camera. It's right here. It's right here.
Yeah, my buddy.
What are you touching over there and nothing over there? It's crazy.
It's more hand motions.
Yeah, it's right there. Again, this has been another episode of Bruising Bear the Podcast. Until next time.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Yeah, Rob.